Welcome to the Newland Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast, hosted by me, Kate Thomas. This podcast is packed with practical tips and expert views to unlock the leadership effectiveness in you and your organization. My name is Kate Thomas, and I'm a leadership effectiveness expert and the founder of Newland Rock, a consultancy dedicated to focusing on increasing leadership effectiveness for talent-savvy companies and individuals. In this podcast, I will share my experience of supercharging leadership performance and business results with you. Join me and the best thought leaders for topical discussions and talent-centric insights. In the final episode of this season's podcast, discussing the Great Resignation, I interview top teams effectiveness expert Caroline Redman. Caroline sees the Great Resignation as a huge opportunity for organizations and leaders to take a pause and to think critically about how they can use this time to reassess their purpose and reassess their values. This conversation is one that is close to my own purpose and why I do what I do. Coaching top teams to maximize their performance is at the core of Newland Rock's work. Why? Because I fundamentally believe that leaders at this level in an organization hold significant responsibility to the largest population. It's the senior leaders that create a path for people to follow. Welcome to the show, Caroline. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to it.
Caroline, what do you make of this Great Resignation topic? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you sensing?
Well, all good questions, Kate. And what it has made me do even before I get to the observations that I'm seeing is that for me personally, it's making me stop and think and have a really good think. You know, it's a lot of my own advice when I'm talking to coaching clients around, particularly senior leaders, where is your time for thinking? When are you pausing and taking time out to get under the skin of what's going on? And particularly with this topic, there are so many different strands to it to unpick, get underneath the skin of what are the different perspectives, implications, lots of challenges, of course, with it. So for me personally, just taking the time out, like I say, to take my own advice and really have a good think, I've found hugely energizing and interesting, because we're all guilty, I think, of just doing a lot of the time and going at pace. So to go into that mindset of what's really going on here and get curious has been fabulous. In terms of the topic itself, I think where I've come to with it is that if we peel it back and really break it down to what we're looking at here, in my mind, this is an extremely normal and understandable, and I go so far to say human, phenomenon that we're experiencing. Because if you think about it, people have been coming and going from jobs, you know, from year dot. That's not new. People have lots of different reasons for moving on, for new challenges, etc. But then you throw into the mix this global pandemic, you turn the world on its head a little bit, and inevitably we as individuals turn with that. So for lots of us, huge parts of our lives have been had a good shake up, let's say, at best. And because our professional lives are such a large part of our existence, I would say often too much of our existence, but that might be for a different podcast. It's inevitable, like I say, that we then react as humans and think things aren't quite right here. I need a change, or everything's been shaken up. So why would I not shake up at least looking at my working life and my professional life and see what changes need to be made there too? So where we put a dramatic label on it or badge on it as the Great Resignation or the Grand Resignation, as I sometimes call it, we are at risk, I suppose, of sensationalizing it a little bit and making it a bigger thing than it is. But that said, there are absolutely challenges that come with it, because the question then is, for an employer or an organization point of view, what's the right way, or is there a right way to approach it? How do we react to it?
What do we do differently? And I think what I'm hearing there, Caroline, is that, you know, top team leaders, they're not immune to what is this human phenomenon. You know, this big shift that's going on. The pandemic has created a lot of unsettlement and awe and awakening for a lot of people when they're thinking about their work, their life, and what it is that they want. And you know, sometimes I think an organization can forget that the senior leadership team, the top team, they have taken on the biggest level of stress and responsibility through all of this. They're not immune to also wanting to reconsider and reassess what's going on for them as individuals. But then, as you're saying, as an organization, there is a responsibility of what a top team is there to do to protect an organization whilst we go through this pain of this topic, the grand resignation. I like that.
Yeah, indeed. And it's such a good point you make about the top team are there protecting the rest of the organization and so on. But in the same way that lots of my clients have said to me on executive teams, we're so mindful of looking after the mental well-being and welfare of the organization below us, that actually sometimes we're forgetting to check in with ourselves and with each other. Mm. So that thing around putting the oxygen mask on yourself before you can help somebody else, there's a little bit of that in this piece as well, that exactly to your point, nobody's immune to the same challenges that I've alluded to in my opening comments there around being shaken up, having a different perspective on the back end of the pandemic and so on. So you're absolutely right. The top of the organization is absolutely more than entitled to be looking at this as well for themselves.
Indeed. And when we've had other conversations, yourself and I, Caroline, we've talked about leadership effectiveness more broadly, and you've labeled it as an opportunity for leaders to raise their game. You know, when we're wanting to be effective in the work that we do, we need to start doing things differently to raise our game and come at the challenges with a different lens. What's the opportunity here for top teams to be effective during this time? What tips do you have, insights, ideas?
Well, I think anybody listening to this that knows me or is a client of mine will not be surprised to hear me say the opportunity for pause. This is something I feel strongly about. And again, as I mentioned for myself, pausing to have the point of reflection on this topic. But in that, again, inevitable way that as top teams could fall into a trap of becoming very reactive in a situation like this, there's an opportunity here to pause now, to be getting in the front foot where we may not have seen huge numbers of resignations or where we're starting to address it as a potential issue and so on. And again, to think critically about what's going on. As part of that pause, the other thing that I talk a lot about with my clients is around in pausing, if what we're saying is that a lot of this grand resignation and great resignation is around people reevaluating their own values, their personal values, what's important to them, they're reassessing and making changes on the back of it. What better time then, I would say, for organizations and for top teams, excuse me, to mirror that and have their own reassessment of their values as a top team and also as an organization? What is important to us now? Mm. Has that shifted from pre-pandemic times? And the big question, of course, that I'm often talking about, which is around the purpose of the organization. What's our why? Mm. Is the why that we may have had pre-pandemic the same? And are we living it in this time? So certainly in terms of top tips or things that I would be suggesting is really investing the time to think and to get together as a leadership team, as an executive committee, or whatever way the organization is set up, to just check in, establish if we're still standing for the same values. Is this still what's important to us? And challenging themselves to think if that's appropriate in this climate. And also to take the chance to reframe, if we're thinking about the great resignation piece, to reframe that as where's the opportunity to think of this as a positive rather than on the defense, if you like, and thinking through, you know, really is fresh thinking, is that cognitive diversity that we need in top teams to run organizations in an innovative and agile way. Is this an opportunity actually for a bit of churn to shake it up? And I'm not naive to the challenges in having to recruit and sometimes not find the talent that we want. It's expensive, of course, and time consuming. But again, that if it's going to happen anyway, that reframing of it and approach to it as a top team can really lead to a more positive experience of that churn.
Caroline, there's so much there that I want to go into and explore more with you. You know, when you talk about that pause and the fact that leaders intrinsically, especially when they're at that senior level, there's that sense of responsibility, and there is an arousal for action and an arousal to get things moving in the right direction, because there's a plan, there's a strategy in place, there's results to achieve. But you know, this is an opportunity to take a pause, to take an opportunity to think differently and to readdress what the challenge of the Great Resignation and the challenge of the pandemic actually can mean for an organization. So I love the fact that, you know, we're saying, and you know, you and I have experienced this in the work that we do together, the importance of allowing that top team the space to think about what it is that they really stand for now, what it is that they really want to go after. And I suppose for me as well, you know, coming back to one of my earlier points, when we've got that alignment in terms of our purpose and our why and what it is that we're here to do, there is then the opportunity to have an aligned and compelling narrative to drive the right culture. Without it, you're sort of shooting in the dark a bit and, as I say, going into reaction, just the doing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's time and time again, and having an effective purpose, and I mean really investing the time to nail it down and to get total buy-in from the top team, it becomes your North Star. It becomes the North Star for that team in terms of conflicting demands, milestone moments in the organization. It gives you, you know, again, a compass point, North Star, whatever analogy you want to use. It's a point of clarity, and it's an anchoring that, again, like I say, I see it work all the time where organizations that are led by purpose in those times of crisis fare just that little bit better, and there's less sense of reaction and panic than people who are kind of have that anchor, that core sense of why we are here and what we stand for, what we're about.
And as you're talking, my thinking is going into that other direction on retention. You know, so we think about the top team, we're thinking about also your top talent in an organization. You've invested a lot of time as a business in identifying these highly skilled leaders who really do understand your organization. You want to retain them. So making sure that your top team understand the value that they bring and feel that connection back to the business. So it's a two-way thing, isn't it? It's not just about making sure that we're aligned so we have the right message to cascade down through the business. It's also about having meaning for themselves as senior leaders in wanting to be there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that we're moving away from this, I think, is that trap where it's kind of increased the dollar sign, so, you know, throw money at the problem to retain people in that way. It's fairly well documented, I think, at this stage that there's a lot more to keeping somebody energized and that feeling of value in an organization, because you're absolutely right. I think there's studies to suggest that sense of the value somebody feels in working for an organization is head and shoulders above any need for the financial recognition, albeit important as well. Now, what does cause some complexity to that point in the current circumstances is that sense of connection that you referred to, which is so important for all of us. Obviously, we're getting less and less of that for the last 2 years. So where somebody may not have moved on for an extra zero on the paycheck previously, because they have that connection with the organization and the people in it, there's less of that sense of, I suppose, loyalty and I keep coming back to the word connection, to be a reason not to take the extra zero on the paycheck. So that goalpost has shifted a bit from what I've seen, where I used to probably preach around, never mind the money, it's all about making sure people feel valued and all of these other factors around, do they have a sense of autonomy? Do they have clarity? Are there career paths that they could get excited about and all sorts of other things that looks at the whole picture and not just the financial reward. It is, I can understand that it's muddied for understandable reasons, where some of those opportunities to increase the value for people is not there.
It's not there. And when the purpose isn't clear and what it is that the top teams stand for, it becomes even muddier, isn't it? So it's we want to tighten things up. The opportunity for organizations is to tighten things up as best possible and create this environment that ensures that the top team are delivering their best value, but are as aligned as they can be to what the organization stands for. If that's fluid right now, a little bit woolly, a little bit gray, a bit wishy-washy, I kind of feel like the client's in a little bit of trouble. Or be aware, your top team may be feeling a bit unsettled.
Yeah, absolutely. As well as that sense of, I suppose, an incentive for people or almost a visualization of demonstrating the value these top talent, the top talent that we have in an organization, the part they can play in moving us through this time of crisis, and the visualization sense of just look at that, look out there on the horizon when we come through this the other end. And, and I, as chief exec or whatever the role is that I'm playing as part of that leadership team, I want you to get us through with us and that sense of achievement. So you're they're part of it, they're skin in the game, that sense of being part of the solution, not just surviving it and existing it.
I think what I'm hearing from that as well is that we know in the work that we do that when a team has had some war wounds together, that they've gone through the highs and the lows and they come out on top and they've come out winning, that connection that top team then have for themselves as a top team and for the rest of the organization, the passion and the connection they have with their business is even tighter, even stronger. So I think what I'm hearing this tip is, let's use this as a way of, to your point, skin in the game, own it, drive it, what ideas do you all have, and let's run this through, let's take it forward. Let's protect our organization together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And to keep talking about it, to keep the dialogue open. So there's no on taboo areas, I suppose, where we're not talking about the fact that this great resignation is a thing. Staying close to the people in the top team, as we said earlier, so that they're not excluded from the conversation to say, how's it feeling for you? What would be the things that would tempt you away from the organization? And then really getting into that adult professional conversation where, this is a thing and we're all, hopefully realists in the sense that we know that, again, as I said at the beginning, people do move on from organizations, but let's keep the dialogue open, because particularly at that more senior level, that's the kind of level of sophistication we're after, really, isn't it? Where a conversation like that is more than okay.
Absolutely. What's the elephant in the room? And let's call it out. Let's open that discussion. And I suppose what I'm also hearing there is an opportunity for a top team to get to the root cause of what might be going on for them as for themselves individually, but what also might be going on for their organization. Every business is going to have their own challenges right now for their own unique reasons. So what's the root cause for your organization that may influence others to think about moving on?
Yeah, and that root cause might be different for lots of different people within the organization, I suppose. Because, what incentivizes me to stay in an organization might be completely different for somebody else, or indeed to move away. So this then loops back very nicely, actually, to what we were saying about this being a human phenomenon that we're looking at. And if we're saying it is a human phenomenon, then what better way to deal with it than as in a human way? Mm-hmm. There's documented research around this piece around, do we deal with things as transactional or relational around the pandemic? And if the transactional, as an example, would be the paycheck and the reward piece, the relational is more around that sense of connection and stuff that we're talking about now. But as a leader and the top leader in an organization, we need to know that about each of the people in our team. So back to the human connection, I need to understand what your aspirations, Kate, are. If you're in my team, what will float your boat to keep you engaged? Very different to some peers of yours. That's the bit where it's time consuming. You need to do the pause to make time to understand what's going on for people. If we're stuck in the BAU and driving results and increasing productivity or whatever it is that the line of business you're in, regardless, we need to know our people if we're serious about keeping them, essentially, yeah. Because it's only in understanding what their aspirations and kind of hopes are that we can try to meet those.
So when we think about what our executive leaders can do, what the top teams can do to protect their own top talent, we're also saying let's have these adult conversations, that mm-hmm. let's have the dialogue, let's call out what it is that you need, what you want, what you're aspiring for. But let's also ensure that we are not having this transactional discussion, we're getting under the skin of the individuals. And I think for me, what I'm also hearing with the clients that I'm working with, and the leaders that I work with, is that you can also get a bit desensitized by what's going on. You know, when you're at this senior leadership level, there is so much that you are dealing with that sometimes you find it challenging to come down and understand it at a different level, because you're seeing such pieces of work that have such great impact. We can get desensitized and lack that empathy, lack that human connection with other individuals in our business, because we don't necessarily see the same challenges as they see. We see much bigger challenges. So I think, you know, we also need to be cognizant of consciously having this connected conversation.
Exactly. A real conversation is what I'm hearing you say there, because it's constant. It's not come into a new role as a top in the top team, and I have my one-to-ones with everybody and understand in that moment in time what their life is looking like through their lens. This is, as you've described there, an ongoing dialogue. Again, the way humans interact, this is what we normally do. There's no different in a top team. We stay connected, we understand, we demonstrate that empathy, which, you, like you say, for the most, the people with the highest empathy, you know, it can get lost in the roller coaster ride of running a business. So coming back to basics, connecting with your people, keeping the empathy, With a goal in mind. You know, this isn't kind of arms around hugging for the sake of the TLC. It's around building the effectiveness of that team. It's leading to performance. It's leading to get the best out of the people and for the individuals in that team to be their best selves as well. So it's all about engagement and fulfillment in my mind.
Absolutely, and I really love that piece that you just talked about in terms of having a goal in mind and being clear as a top team what that goal is. What are we wanting to achieve from this opportunity? There is an opportunity for us to reassess, pause, and have that critical eye across our business right now. What do we want to achieve by that? What is our people first strategy right now? What do we want these conversations to be? What do we want to achieve from them? Maybe just a last question, if I may, just to tease out some more from you, Caroline. You know, what would you say leaders should watch out for right now? You know, what might be the blind sides? Maybe I've touched on one already in the fact that I observe a bit of this desensitization going on because we can be so top line. Anything else that comes up for you that leaders should, you know, as you say, they pause, really connect with what's happening. What are the watch outs?
I think there's a few. I think some more tangible than others. One is the one you've just touched on, really, which is, I suppose, the watch out would be not investing the time in doing this root cause analysis that we've talked about. And within that, really taking a look at themselves as part of that. So as a leader, we create the environment that our team are existing in and hopefully enjoying and being in. But we have to be really holding a mirror up to ourselves to see, what am I doing? Can I do more? Am I pulling the right levers to make this an engaging environment for people to be working in? So a really true look at the deep, you know, kind of root cause analysis, including themselves in that. And then I suppose the other ones are less tangible around. There's something for me about, watch out for becoming paranoid about this. You know, it may be controversial, but I can also see how leaders could become so distracted by the concern of people leaving and this resignation, again, because of a bit of maybe sensational stuff around the great resignation, that once people have an organisations and teams have a plan, They know what they stand for in terms of their purpose. They've taken the actions to create the right environment and to do what they can, if you like, to make sure that people want to be in the organisation. There's a part of me that probably thinks, and now get on with it.
Let's go play.
Yeah,
let's go play. Let's enjoy this.
That's it. If somebody tells me there's an avalanche coming, I can't help but keep looking behind me and developing a little twitch. So, you know, take the right action and deal with it action, certainly as a real thing, but don't let it distract you from, you know, setting the vision, raising the energy of the team. Almost an assumption that who you have in front of you now is your team, you know, not kind of becoming suspicious that everybody's one foot out the door. I don't think that would help. And equally, as and when people inevitably do move on, there's something again around a watch out of not losing too much perspective around that. Again, not being naive to the inconvenience and the expense and everything else that comes with having to re-recruit, but equally seeing it as a positive opportunity of fresh thinking, fresh blood and diversity. So they would probably be my main, as well as not, you know, the obvious trap of throwing money at a problem. I would probably keep those as my key pointers.
Fantastic. I love that. I've written down plan, purpose, play, perspective. All the P's, Caroline.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time out to join me and have this conversation. I really do appreciate the insights that you're sharing with our clients on this call. Let's keep in touch and I look forward to our next podcast together.
Lovely. Thanks, Kate. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Newland Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast with me, your host, Kate Thomas. If you would like more information on how I can help you or your organization maximize your talent and leadership effectiveness strategies, then reach out to me through my website, newlandrock.com.